O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. Psalms 95, verses 1 through 7. So good to see each of you here today. We appreciate your presence. We're thankful for those who are visiting. We're thankful for the members. It's good to be here. It's the Lord's Day. And we talked quite extensively last Sunday morning about the significance of this day, the Lord's Day, and all the things that the Bible talks about and places importance upon this great day. But we are here today to worship our God, and we hope that as we worship, that we will do so in spirit and in truth. When we think about worship, we're talking about that in our Sunday morning Bible class. And we're discussing and talking about the very essence of what worship is. It is service. It is reverence. It is offering an adoration unto God. It is thanking God. It's being appreciative to God. There are many, many aspects of our worship unto God as we sing and as we pray, as we remember the Lord, as we study His Word. All of these are wonderful aspects of our appreciation to God for all that He has given us. Who is it that is worshiping? Who is it that God accepts worship from? Well, I think most of us would understand that it would be the people of God. And when we consider the idea of the church, we remember that our Lord said in Matthew 16, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, as He spoke to His apostles there. When we think about the church, we're talking about people. We're talking about those who are of God, His disciples. This morning I thought it would be good for us just to review a little bit and to think a little bit more about our worshiping God and the wonderful blessings that we have as His church. We understand that the church is very, very important. It is one of which, one name of which God gives His people. There are many other words that express a particular aspect of His people. But today we're going to talk about this idea of the called out of God. Those who have come to an assembly, those who have come together to worship God for a purpose, to work and to do service unto our God. When we think about the church, who are we really talking about? Well, we're talking about the saved of God. In the very first sermon that was proclaimed, as the keys of the kingdom were given to the apostles, and as they spoke, those keys opening up entrance unto the kingdom of God, that we might be children of God. And it is expressed in chapter 2 and verse 41. So then those who had received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. We've talked a little bit about that passage before. And just to imagine that great day, the scene of the apostles standing before these thousands of people, and as the Holy Spirit came upon them, and as they began to speak in all these different languages, and people could hear in their own native tongue the precious words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these about 3,000 souls that responded that day, that must have been such an awesome sight to have seen that. To have seen those people who committed themselves to God, who believed with all their heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and yea, even those who Peter says was guilty of having put Jesus on the cross. They wanted to know, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And about 3,000 souls responded to that. And we understand that God was the one that added them to the number. The old King James says church there. It is actually the idea, the concept of the number of God or those of that number. That number being those who are the saved of God. Those that have given themselves to the King of the kingdom. Those who have given themselves to Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior. And they were baptized to wash away all of their sins. And the great wrath of God was appeased because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that the church, the people of God, they are the saved. They are the body of Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ in chapter 5, verse 23, that Jesus Christ is the head and the Savior of that body. What a wonderful thing for us to remember this day, the Lord's Day, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we are here today as God's people, the saved of God, worshiping Him on the Lord's Day. What a blessing that is. Well, the church is really, really important because we are God's family. And I think that we appreciate that, but maybe not sometimes as much as we should. Having family, being the family of God, is such a precious thing. I think we remember from the book of Matthew chapter 12, we remember there how that the Lord made it very, very clear about who His family was or who He considered to be His family. And He says, stretching out His hand toward His disciples, and He said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. We find in Scripture that God, our Father. We talk about Jesus Christ, our brother. Christians were called in the first century, in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 1, Sosthenes, our brother. Romans 16 and verse 1, Phoebe, our sister. Those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, they are a part of and are the family of God. And we have this wonderful relationship one with the other. Now, all of us have our physical family. Sometimes we have family that we don't really want to admit is our family. Sometimes we have that part of our family that we really appreciate them, we really love them, and we're glad to call them, you know, our family. The wonderful thing about the church is that we all have the same Father. We all have the same brother. And we should have all the same feeling of close-knit relationship one to the other because of who our Father and who our brother are. I want you to stop and just think just for a moment. I'm sure we have all known of someone, and maybe there's someone in this audience today, that all your family is gone. You really don't have any close relatives, family anymore. You're alone. That's not a great feeling to have. But in Jesus Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ, you have lots of family. You have lots of brothers and sisters in Christ. And I've also known this through the years. There have been people that have become Christians and all of their family, and they have an extensive family, and none of them are Christians. And this person has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they become so much closer to those in Christ than they do their own physical family. The wonderful blessing about the church, and one of the significances of the church, is that we are family. We ought to learn to appreciate each other and show that appreciation to each other through our love and our kindness. The church is very important because this is where all of God's spiritual blessings are found. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it is significant there that we find that the wonderful blessings that God gives us. And what kind of blessings does God give His people? He gives them all. All of these spiritual blessings of heavenly places. He grants unto us in Christ. And the significance of being in Christ is the fact that we are baptized into Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 teaches us that by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, into one church, is the concept. And being baptized into Christ, being baptized into this body of saved people of God, our family, that's where all the spiritual blessings are. Now think about that just for a moment. We're gathered here today as God's people. I'm not God's favorite son. Neither are you. We're all equally appreciated and loved by our Father. There's no partiality with God. So as we're gathered here today as a church, as God's saved, as people that are the family of God, we are the people that have all of the blessings of the heavenlies within us. God has greatly blessed us in so many ways. I know that it's easy through the week to become so involved and so pressed down and so entangled with all the things of life. And not that all of those things are wrong, but yet sometimes it's very distracting for us. We talked about a little bit in Bible class about coming here with all of our burdens and with all of our thoughts and all of our worries. And we come here and maybe sometimes it's so hard to concentrate. It's so hard to think about what we ought to be thinking about and concentrating on how great God is and what He's giving us. And just to really be single-minded in thinking about what God has done for me, what God has done for you. And then we think about all of the great and wonderful spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. What would be some of those blessings that we have in Christ? When we say all spiritual blessings, we sing a song sometimes, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." Have you ever really tried that? I mean, seriously, have you ever just really sat down with a paper and pencil and just tried to list your blessings? Sometimes we're not really cognizant of our blessings until we lose it. We lose something. Then we stop to think about how important that was to us. The fact that we as His children, we can call upon Him in prayer and we can petition Him with confidence, the book of Hebrews says. We can approach the throne of God with confidence and ask Him and petition Him for the thoughts and the cares of our hearts. If we are burdened with sin, if we are laden with all kinds of guilt and shame, if we are encumbered with all sorts of varying stresses and difficulties of life, it is our God who really cares. You know, sometimes we may want to talk to one another and to reach out to someone, to have them to comfort us. And we start talking about our problems. We start talking about our issues. We start talking about the bad day we're having. And sometimes people don't really care. People don't really want to listen. And sometimes it's hard for us to really express to other people and get the kind of help we really need because we're people. And sometimes we use this kind of expression. Well, how are you doing? Oh, I can't complain. But, you know, if I did complain, nobody would care or nobody would listen. Isn't that true? But yet, one of the blessings that we have, our Lord said, "Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Come to me." Isn't that a wonderful blessing? And you know, if I was to tell you my problems, more than likely, if you were willing to listen, and if you began to care, probably there wouldn't be anything you could do about it other than listen. But the blessing we have from God is that we go to God in confidence, bearing to Him our problems and our sorrows and our cares, and He takes care of that for us. We leave that there with Him. It's a delivery process that He allows, that He encourages, that we drop off our burdens to the Lord and we leave them there. He takes care of it. And if I no longer have to carry that burden, I can feel a burden lifted. And I can feel the comfort and the encouragement because I have talked to my Father who has created all things, who controls all things, and I no longer have to worry. I no longer have to feel guilt. I no longer have to be depressed. Did you know, as God's people, we have that privilege and that blessing? And every one of us that are here as children of God, we share that in common. It's a wonderful thing to be around a lot of blessed people. It is a great thing to be around a lot of people that are children of God. You know, the church is really significant and important because of any place. This is where love is demonstrated. It's not just in these four walls. This building is not the church. And throughout history, many, quote, Christians call the building the church. Biblically speaking, God doesn't use the term church in that way. It's the people. It's those who have been called out of the world into His family. And what is significant about love is that God is love. We demonstrate our kinship when we love. And it's not just in this assembly that we are commanded to love. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." Well, you see, our enemies are not in here. Paul talked about when you come together as a church to eat the Lord's Supper. We have come together on the Lord's Day as a church, as God's people. And love is to be demonstrated. One of the great things that Jesus said to His disciples, He told them that you love one another as I have loved you. When we come together as God's people, there really should not be enmity between us. There should not be animosity. There should not be stress. There should not be any kind of quarrel. There should not be any kind of contention. We studied in the book of James. When James in chapter 4, he talked about, do not speak against your brother. That is an imperative. That is a command that is without dispute. If he got something bad to say, don't say it. Now that is not to say, if your brother is in sin, that you can't correct him. But yet we are admonished in the book of Galatians that we do so with meekness and gentleness, looking to yourself lest you also be tempted. What would that mean? That would mean that I would treat you as I would want to be treated. I'm going to sin. I'm going to make a mistake. And I don't want you to come up and correct me like this. Hey, I would want you to treat me lovingly and kindly, but truthfully. I've done wrong. You need to correct this so you can be saved and you can go to heaven. You see, this is a place where love is demonstrated. When we come together as God's people, if there is any kind of action or disposition that is contrary to love, it's out of place. Do you know why the church is so special? Why it's so important? Because if you really need to feel the love, if you really need to experience that warmth, this is where you get it. Now, there's lots more we could say about that love, wherein, like in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, in the church of those who believed were of one heart and soul. There's always going to be a sourpuss among us. There's always going to be somebody that's in the objective case in the kickative mood. And that is infectious. It is a leaven. And it must be rooted out. But you know, it's difficult for all of us to always be what we ought to be. But even love is demonstrated toward them. If God commands us to love our enemies, would He not want us to love our brother that is cranky today? Some of us wake up on the wrongs or get up on... How's it go? Wake up and get up on the wrong side of the bed. Is that the way it goes? I think I got that right. Meaning that you're just kind of in a foul mood, you know, and just... Maybe we will come here and we're our facial expression, maybe our body language is that we've been sucking on a dill pickle all week and we're just sour and we're just... Well, do we return ugly for ugly? Isn't this the place that we can come that is a comfort place? That is a place of love, and it is demonstrated. And isn't this true? That it's real? Out there, love can be so feigned, pretend, fake. People that claim to really appreciate you and like you, then as soon as you turn around, they stab you right in the back. Is that what this place is? No. This is not what this place is. And you know, for that reason alone, would it not be reason enough to want to be amongst these people to be able to feel the kind of love that God wants us to feel for each other and appreciate each other? You know, some people are huggy people. Some people are just shake-only people. Some people don't shake or hug. But love can be there. Love can still be there and appreciated. Because love is not always something that is tangible. Love is what you do. It's how you act. It's how you treat. It's how you speak. There should not be a one of us here that would ever come for any period of time and leave this place and not feel loved. Well, how is that love expressed? I remember that the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus condemned that church because they had left their first love. I think one of two things is true about that. That's either their love for God or their love for one another, or C, both. And that could happen to us at Anderson. If we don't have the right kind of appreciation for when we come together to worship and to honor God, to love Him, then we certainly cannot love someone like us. John made that very point. He says, if we say that we love God, yet we hate our brother, we're a liar. You can't do that. How can you love someone you do not see when you can't love someone you do see? So here's the deal. We come here and we claim to love God, we appreciate Him, we're worshiping Him, and then we talk ugly to one another. That all we're saying is, we really did not worship God or love God as we should have. So it really does matter, brethren. It really does matter what you say to one another. It really does matter how you treat each other. Because it speaks volumes about your relationship with God. You shouldn't speak bad in God's presence of His children. Love is demonstrated. The church is really important because we can really find help. Now, we mentioned that just a little bit a moment ago. But one of the things that is significant to me when you look at the first century church, and it begins right from the get-go in chapter 2, those folks were really intent on worshiping and honoring God. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread. I think it was Rocky talking to me a moment ago after Bible class. And he said, you know, back in that day, he remembers when he was baptized into Jesus Christ. And the next day, I mean, he was just on fire to serve God and worship Him and do what was right, you know. Do you all remember the day that you came up out of the water? You remember that day? You remember how good you felt? How clean you felt? You just squeaky clean. I mean, you're just... And Rocky made one other statement. He says, you know, when I came up out of that water, he said the next day I was ready to worship God. He said I was ready for the Lord to come right then. Ready. Well, now it's been several years since then, right? What has happened to us? The world happens to us. The world happens to us. And this is not something that God didn't plan for. This is not something that God didn't understand or appreciate. He sent His Son. He well understands the world effect. But you know, James said, in James chapter 5, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it accomplishes much. Here's something I think that we'll talk more about it in our Sunday morning Bible class when we get to prayer section of worship. But I want to say this. We make announcements and we talk about so-and-so has asked us to have prayer for them, or someone wants us to remember them in their prayers and so forth. And this happens quite a bit with even Facebook, with our Anderson page. You know, we'll post something there. And even just today, Richie posted about his mother-in-law and not doing well. Michael made mention of that. Okay? And this is something to think about, guys. When you lead prayer, when there's been some things mentioned that we ought to pray for, When you get up here and lead prayer, pray for it. Mention it. Pray for them. But when we leave this place, pray for them. You know, of all the people we could ask to do anything in this world, who's going to do it any better than us? If I ask Isaac to help me, I'm confident that that young man would do anything within his power to help me. Now, there's a bunch of people out there that I could ask to help me and wouldn't give me the time of day. You know what's special about this group of people? You can find help in time of need here. Do you need the prayers of the church? Ask for it. As a church, pray for them. Mention them specifically. You ever had your name mentioned specifically in prayer before this audience? How did it make you feel? There is a great exhortation and encouragement that comes that someone who loves you and cares about you, who is your family, approaches God in prayer and mentions your name. If you have received such a blessing, did not our Lord say it is more blessed to give than to receive? Helping each other spiritually. There is no doubt in my mind that service after service that we come together, we see someone struggling spiritually. We see people who are not here and they are struggling spiritually. You know what's really great about the church? We do something about that. We've become very hardened and callous when people habitually forsake the Lord. And they may be immature. They may be just a newborn Christian. But it's forsaken all the same. What do we do? Elders have a responsibility as shepherds to tend to those sick sheep. Each member has that responsibility. You know what makes this place so special? You can find help in time of need here. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. It's where you can hear the truth. Sometimes whoever's preaching and teaching, and they're speaking God's words to us, you can hear a pin drop in this building. I've always appreciated a place where you could preach the truth and you could hear a pin drop. What does that mean? People start focusing on the words of God and allowing it to penetrate their heart. You can find a place to go and they will preach what you want to hear. You can find places to go to church and they'll preach all of the stuff that'll just make you laugh and hee-haw, and you'll think that you have just, you know, oh, this is great. But never ever hear the truth that will make a difference in your life. It will change your heart to a service of God. You know, hearing the truth, Jesus said, will set you free. We come here sometimes as slaves of sin. We come here burdened with sin. And it is the truth that we hear. The truth of how we repent, how we change our hearts, how we change our actions, how we can be forgiven. And we can rid ourselves of that burden. And we can be set free in Christ. You might not like what is spoken. If it's not from the Bible, then reject it. But if it is from the Word of God and it's the truth, you may not like it. But you need to learn to love it and appreciate it and apply it to your heart. It takes a special heart to be corrected. Some people you cannot tell that they are wrong. It doesn't matter what that person does. They are never wrong. In 1 John, John said, that person is a liar. None of us go without doing wrong. But you know, even the best-hearted person, when they are corrected, it still hurts. But if you've got the right heart and you learn that you're wrong, you're in the right place if you're here. Because people will pray with you and pray for you. And your Father that is in this place will forgive you. And Jesus Christ, who is in this place, gave His life and blood for you. There is love here, even for those who are not practicing the truth. From the first day the church had its beginning, in the book of Acts chapter 2, to this day, the church is composed of people just like me. Saved sinners. That doesn't make me any more special. That doesn't make me any better than you. It doesn't make you any better than me. But it makes us equal. I don't know about you, but I enjoy being around people that think like I think, talk like I talk, walk like I walk. There's a comfort there. There's an appreciation for the fact that we're of like-minded. Rocky and I, again, we're talking a little bit about, he mentioned about there's a difference between union and unity. And I remembered an old story that you can take two cats and you can tie their tails together and throw them over a clothesline and they are in union. But they are not united. You know, as God's people, we need to be in union and we need to be united. Because every one of us are sinners and every one of us need God. What a wonderful blessing that is. Now, having said that, is the church really important to you? Do you ever really stop to consider and think about, you know, mothers, bless every one of them, mothers. They got all these kids who 400 times a day, mommy, 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 mommy. And they want, they need. They're constantly tugging on you. You're wiping noses in other places. And you're just expending yourself 24/7, constantly giving, 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 giving. And maybe one of the deepest desires of a mother is that these kids grow up to appreciate what she did for them. And how many spoiled, rotten kids do not respect and honor and appreciate their mothers. When you meet a snotty-nosed, spoiled brat kid, how many times do you want to smack them? Let's put the shoe on the other foot. With all of the greatness of God and our assembling to worship Him, to reverence Him, and all of the great blessings that He has showered down upon each of us as a church and as a Christian, do we appreciate Him? Do we really? How would you know? Just something to think about. Sometimes we miss services. And we're sick. As we used to hear pray, providentially hindered. But maybe we miss, and it's not really just miss, and we've got a good excuse. We miss, and that missing would not have stopped us from going to work. It would not have stopped us from going to ball practice. It would not have stopped us from going to school. But we will miss church. Does not that miss now equal forsake? And does that forsake not equal sin? When you miss, when you could have been here, you should have been here, but your lust tempted you to do something else, do you not understand that you are saying that you do not appreciate nor honor your Father for all that He has done? And with each miss, you are weakening your faith a little bit at a time. And it becomes easier the next time. And any flimsy excuse will work. Well, I'm not going to go. I can't go because. I'm sorry, but I cannot fathom the mentality of discussing what we have discussed today and someone choosing something else to do and not be with God's people. It makes no sense. Does your conscience bother you when you do that? You know, deep down, you ought to be here, but you make another choice. Now you've hardened your heart just a little bit more. And you know, the way God made us is that, you know, the first time it may have bothered us, and the second time it may have bothered us a little less, and the third time it bothers us even less than that. And then finally, we miss enough that it doesn't bother us, and whenever the preacher preaches about it, you automatically turn off. When someone mentions it, you automatically shut that off, because that doesn't affect you. That's not about you. That's not to you. That's for all them other people. And if the elders talk to you, or if some brother talks to you, it's like water on a duck's back. It has no meaning. And sometimes our hearts can become hard, where the truth doesn't affect. Spouses, you have let your spouse down. Parents, you've let your children down. A stumbling block is what you've become. You think, spouse, because you don't come, that you don't put a stumbling block in front of your spouse, encouraging them to miss too? And when you as parents miss, are you not a stumbling block to your children? You are saying and teaching loudly that something is more important than what we just talked about. I challenge anybody, any time, any day of the week, to show me where anything is more important than what we just talked about. Parents, you may live to regret the day that you missed church, because your parent, your children are watching you. And as a general rule, and biblically, historically true, children always take it a step further in the wrong direction. Is the church important to you? One final example, then we'll stand and sing. My wife is sitting over here. We've been married 42 years. I think you would believe that I love her. I would think you would understand that I appreciate her. If you heard me right after services, if you heard me talk ugly to her, if you heard me or saw me treat her in a very disrespectful way, and it's in front of other people, and I embarrassed her, and I made her look bad, you would question my 42 years of saying I love her. Would you not? How many years you've been a Christian? Does one forsaking the assembly say something about all those years of service? Just a question. You will have to answer. So will I. You know, being faithful means being faithful. What a wonderful thing the day that you came up out of that water. New person. Child of God. There may be someone here today that is not a Christian. Let me tell you, it's more than just getting wet. Many people throughout the years have just gotten wet. It didn't change them. They didn't live any different than they ever did before they got wet. When you're baptized into Jesus Christ, Jesus becomes your King. And it's no longer what you want, but His will is our command. It changes the way you live. It changes the way you think. I hope and pray that we have worshiped our God in spirit and in truth today. I'm not the judge of that, only for myself. This is a wonderful place, Anderson Church. I'm thankful to God for every one of you. But our worship to God has to be ourselves looking inward. Our dedication and commitment to this church, to this family, cannot be just a few taking care of everything. It's everybody's responsibility. It's every person's responsibility. If you are a member of this church, man up, member up, and be counted on. Show up for every practice. Show up for every team meeting. Show up for every game. Be counted on and be committed. Our Lord does not want any less. May God bless us to be His people. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Would you be free from your